Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I was in South America, as you know. Now, from the end of September through the beginning of November, and I had a wonderful time there. And one of the things that I did was we had a day where with some students and masters, we spoke about healing. What is healing? And what is healing in Reiki? And it was a great conversation with people from Brazil, from Buenos Aires, and from Colombia. And in Colombia, we made a list. People got together in small groups, and they made their own definition of healing and curing according to their own experience in Reiki. And one of the things that really touched me about this particular group and their articulation was the willingness to imagine that in Reiki, healing and curing could be connected rather than separated. And I like that very much. I'll just read you a couple of the things that were said. Under healing, to access a space of consciousness of the divine, to create health, prosperity, and spirituality. And for curing, this is one of the wonderful definitions that came up. Reiki's universal energy acts complementing and balancing the soul, which is reflected in a healthy body. So the terms healing and curing became very close to one another rather than seen as opposite, and I really like that. And one of the men that I met there in this particular weekend was Miguel Pumarejo, and I really loved our conversations together. And he also, it was told to me that he had a very interesting story about his own healing. And, of course, I immediately thought that it had to do with Reiki, but it doesn't. But what it does have to do with is this wonderful exploration about healing and curing in our everyday experiences. And I feel that Miguel has a wonderful story to tell us that can be an inspiration for us all. So, Miguel, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and thanks for being willing to share your stories.
Okay.
So, let's start with Miguel. How old were you when the story begins?
Be 40-some, 41 or something like that.
Uh-huh. And you were living in Colombia at the time?
Yes. I was a photographer, advertising photographer by the time. And I was living, I had lived all my life there until 10 years ago that I left.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And so what happened with you at this time in your life?
Well, that was a little bit of a scary thing to find out. I was out of the country, like five, 6 hours driving through uncovered roads, taking some pictures in a beautiful, beautiful spot that we had. And I found out that I was, I don't know how to say that, having blood in my urine.
Ah, that's
and
pretty
I was,
clear.
Yes, that was awful because I was in the middle of nowhere and found out that there. And I was far away from home and the towns or anything. And that was a little bit scary for the moment. But then, well, nothing hurts. So I just kept going as much as I could with that story. That was not easy.
Yeah.
And then when I come back to Bogota, to my city, of course, I went to the doctor and they found out that I had cancer. And I had a big tumor already on the bladder and the prostate. And, well, it was already spread all over.
Wow.
And that was really, well, bad news for me in that time because I didn't know what to do about it. And other than going to the doctors, the traditional, I don't know how to say that, but the normal doctors, for to say something.
Right, right. The conventional medicine, we call
conventional medicine. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
And then they told me that they had to make a big surgery on me and take out bladder and prostate and everything around. Well, that was really, really difficult. And lucky me, that was a time of not enough money in my life. And I said lucky me because I had to find some alternative ways to heal myself because I couldn't stop working for 6 months and keep myself going.
Right.
So I was very lucky that I didn't have the money and I needed to find out some other way to do it. And then, other than that, I was really kind of, I didn't like to have some parts of myself dying before me.
And that's a great way to put it.
Yes. And said, okay, I came as a whole, I'm living as a whole, come on. Don't tell me that I have to live without some part of my body from here on. It's
right.
Not. It didn't feel right. So what I did was look around. I had my dental doctor had some new ideas about how to heal and about how to work. I always had some problem with anesthesia when you have anesthesia for your dental work.
Yes.
I needed a lot of it because I didn't numb enough.
Oh, wow.
So this guy was working with me, and I always had really scared about dental work because of that, because of the pain and all the things.
Uh-huh.
And this guy was working with me with no anesthesia at all, just by putting some slides, some pictures in slides, in a thing that he put on my chest with photographs from the stained windows on the Gothic cathedrals in Europe, for example, and some colors and some things. And just only that, I was dumb enough to be worked with in my teeth and no problem, no pain.
Now how did that work, Miguel?
I don't know. I don't know how this guy did it, but he did. I mean, it was
just pictures of
just pictures on slides, and he said to me that the light that he was using to light me and so he can work inside my mouth, it was filtering through those slides on my system on my chest. And that made the difference.
Wow, that is incredible. I mean, yes. I've never heard of that before.
Neither. That was the only time. And it was real because I was there. I mean.
it was your mouth. Wow, that's incredible. So great. So anyway, this dentist, who sounds fantastic.
He was great. And he was very spiritual and everything. And of course, that prepared me to accept things in a different way.
Right.
And then, of course, the first person it came to my mind to ask what I do was him, of course.
Yeah, for sure.
And then I went to him, and he sent me to this lady that worked with herbs, and I know she made some herbs that you had to liquefy and then drink that juice that tasted like awful tasting. Worst in my life that I had to drink. And that was very hard to do. And I, on top of that, I didn't feel that it was making any difference.
Uh-oh.
So keep looking for the doctors. At the end, the conventional medicine doctors told me that the first thing was in January. And by February, March, they told me that I had 3 months of life.
Uh-huh.
And did my surgery and then radiation and everything. I was going to die like mid-year.
Wow, that is scary.
Yes, it was very scary. But I was, you know, looking for that. And like I said, I didn't want to die in stages. I want to die by the whole. So I said, okay, let me find some way. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die. And I was planning to die in a lot more years, but if it happens closer, okay, it happens. But right. I won't go and mutilate myself to keep living.
Uh-huh.
That kind of life that I didn't like.
Uh-huh.
So keep looking for it. And then I found I don't know the names in English. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
This is alternative medicine.
Right.
Let me say it that way. This guy was working with bach flower essences.
Right.
And some other things. An American writer that she's called Louise Hay.
Oh, yes. I know her.
Yeah. We all... That was my... Her book, You Can Heal Your Life.
Yes,
actually was my textbook for my healing, and it was great. I mean, it helped me to change my mind. That in the end, I know that's what made a miracle to name it some way.
Yeah.
And I start working with this guy. He was really busy at the time. He had a lot of people waiting for him, but he had an opening that was, you know, destiny.
Right.
And he interviewed me, and he said, okay. Well, he asked the normal questions, the things like, what's your name and where you live, what you do. All that kind of the normal things.
Uh-huh.
And then he asked me the question that just, you know, I just was wordless, like I am now, because this guy out of the blues asked me, how's your relationship with your mother?
And said,
what my mother has to do with this? And he said, okay. She has everything to do with this, because the kind of cancer you have and the place where it is and everything, it talks to me about your relationship with your mother. So tell me how it is. And I said, okay, couldn't be worse.
Oh, God.
And that was something because, well, I had, after that, I understood, and of course, I forgave her, and we made, you know, I made peace inside myself with her. But the thing was that, the thing was okay, you need to heal your relationship with your mother if you want to heal from about your cancer. And I said, uh-oh, I think I'm going to die, because that's going to be very hard to do.
Uh-huh.
And then he says, okay, dying is another way of healing. So you can also die. And that coming from a doctor was really something to hear.
Wow, that's incredible.
And he said, you have the option. You can die if you want to, but you can heal too. And depends on you. Depends on what you do. Depends on how you manage it. Depends on what you do with your life and your thinking. And you can heal. So depends on you. If you want, if you think your trouble with your mother it's that bad, and you can't do anything about it, well, you're going to keep your cancer and you're going to die. Or you can start working on it. Said, of course, I said, well, tell me what I have to do. I have to talk to her. And he says, no, you don't have to talk to her. You just have to talk to yourself, because she is one person and you are the one that you're that are taking what she did to you in a bad way for you.
Uh-huh.
So it's cancer because you're having resentment about her.
Uh-huh.
Cancer is resentment. And if you heal your resentment, you're gonna heal your cancer, because that cancer it comes to teach you something.
Wow.
And it comes to teach you, you're like any other teacher. When he teaches you what he came to teach you, he's going to go away. He will stay with you all your life, like every teacher does. And I said, okay, that's something different, a different way to see things.
Yes, very.
So let's explore these, because it, of course, it just get my full attention in that moment.
Right. And okay. Had you been reading Louise Hay then at this point too?
That was no. I that
no,
was
that was later.
That was in that moment that
uh-huh.
I stopped, because he says to me, okay, we're going to treat your cancer in three ways at
uh-huh.
the same. First, the physical part. You're gonna go vegetarian, so you don't eat red meat that gives power to the tumor. You're going to stop eating white sugar because that gives energy to the tumor.
Uh-huh.
And you're gonna stop eating white flour, processed flour.
Wow.
So that doesn't give body to the mm-hmm. to the tumor.
Uh-huh.
That's the physical part. But then other than that, we need to work with your emotional body
mm-hmm.
by using some back flower essences
mm-hmm.
and healing your well, all the things that I am out of words now, but all the things that were wrong with my emotional
right. kind of the, would you call them imbalances? Would he have said that?
Imbalance, yes.
Emotional imbalances, or
yes, I was furious. I was resented. I was really mad about my mom and everything that
right.
she did to me. And about my life, and about most everything.
uh-huh, kind of an angry guy.
Yes, very uh-huh. angry, and that was difficult for me, and that was difficult for my partners in life and everything.
Yeah.
I had already had five or four marriages by that time, and all broken and all bad things, and said, okay. Of course, I have to heal a lot of things.
Right.
And the only one that can do that is myself. Nobody can do that
uh-huh.
but myself. Because it's something that is happening inside me. And the only one, the only people that can think inside me is myself.
Right.
So,
great.
Or the other way around. So that's the way. And he said, and for the other part, we're going to work with this book. Because that teaches you to accept your responsibility about yourself and accept that you are the responsible of everything that happens in your life. And that's the best best of all teachings that I had was to learn to have to assume my own responsibility about everything. So I'm not blaming anyone, and starting with my mom, of course. I stopped blaming everyone for everything that happened to me, and accepted that I was the one that was doing that to me. By different ways of doing it, but I was the only one that was really doing bad things to me.
So the other, So Miguel, what is the difference then between taking responsibility for your life taking responsibility for your life, but not feeling guilt or feeling like you're just transferring the blame? Because it doesn't really have to do with blame, does it?
Yes, it's exactly that way. The way I see responsibility is not the way that maybe most of people feels it, because usually people puts together responsibility and guilt.
Yes, exactly. It's really hard not to do sometimes.
Yes, but then, as I see it, you have to break the word responsibility. It's the ability to respond to something. You see, so you have to have the ability to do something about everything in your life. Because blame, either to others or to yourself, it's like doing nothing. You see it? If you blame yourself, what you're doing? Nothing. Just blaming. Just putting the actual culprits, if we can use that word,
right,
in a different place, either to yourself or to another person or something, and there is nothing that anybody does wrong. It just everybody does everything as the best as they can in the moment that they do it.
Right.
The consciousness that they have.
Right.
Making myself clear?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so if I think that I did or any other person do something wrong, I'm just not seeing it the way it is. Because nobody does wrong. Everybody does what that person thinks is the best that moment. Wrong or right, if you speak about for example, society ways of doing things.
Right.
It might be wrong, of course. I'm not speaking about people that kill other people or something like that, and they're okay with that. No, I'm not, of course. It's not that kind of thing. But blaming is something that is so useless. And right. Guilt so useless that is something that you have to remove from your life. That's it. You are going to do it better the next time you do it. And of course, keep some basic thoughts in your mind. Don't damage anyone, starting with yourself.
Right.
Don't do any damage to anyone. And that way, if you can think that way, you will have a beautiful, happy life. And all the people that is around you will too. Because you're not doing any harm. And that's something, if you can think about that, and you can make it a way of thinking and a way of living, then you stop blaming everybody, because you know that everybody's doing what they're doing at the best of their abilities in the time they do it. And you are too. And you were doing the best of you. And my mom was doing it that way when she did what she did. You see? So it's just a matter of understanding the people, understanding the way they do things. And of course, if they damage me, I won't allow it. And I won't do any harm to anybody. And I don't like the people that harms other people or animals or nature or anything. Right. And that's something that we have to learn to do. Because we go through life, you know, being a little bit loose on that end.
Yes.
You can push here and push that and put your elbow and kick somebody a little bit. And that is not right. And you can have a life and you can have anything you need without doing that.
Uh-huh.
But first of all, you have to do it with yourself. And you say, okay, I learned that because responsibility is something that I means that I can understand what I did. And the next time I'll do it better.
Uh-huh.
Feeling guilty, it won't help it because it's taking me from the only moment that I have to do things that is now. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to the guilt, I'm going to the past. And I cannot change that.
Right.
And if I'm worried, I'm going to the future and I cannot help that. Because
right. Interesting. So I suppose that changing your thinking about your mom was easier said than done.
Oh, yes.
So did you meditate or do affirmations or?
Well.
How do you change a lifetime of feeling?
Yes, that is something very interesting. I was, first of all, I was treating my cancer the way I already told, physically and intellectually with the Louise Hay book, learning to accept that I was the one that did everything and the one that chose and everything. And of course, I was also taking some other workshops and seminars I could put my hands and ears and body on it just to learn something else about myself and going inside myself, because inside was the world that I needed to change.
Right.
So I did Inside, that was a seminar that I did. I did some rebirthing, and that was something that happened to me in the first or second session of rebirthing. That was really, really healing and scary at the same time.
I can imagine what happened.
I was, you know, the rebirthing works with over oxygenating your body.
Right.
You start...
hyperventilating is what we call it.
That's the word, hyperventilating. And that puts a special frame of mind in you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because of the more oxygen in your brain and everything. So you get in a different space of mind, if you want to say that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then... That time, I just did I was kind of thrown back in time to the space between my life before this one and this one.
Yes.
I don't know if you need to believe in that or not, but that's what I felt. And that made the difference to me.
Right.
So I don't know if it's necessary to believe in reincarnation or something like that. But to me, it's something that explains a lot of things that I cannot explain without it.
Right.
But then I was drawn that way. And I saw myself. I felt myself, actually. Choosing what I was going to live in this life. I saw myself choosing my parents, and I saw myself choosing my mom, and felt myself showing the cancer like an option of learning. And after that, I was suddenly in my mom's belly.
Wow. When she
was pregnant. And I was feeling her. Like an observer.
Uh-huh.
Like seeing her feelings and feeling them also, and mine, but kind of observing from outside. And saw or felt the awful pain and scare that she was.
Uh-huh.
Really, really, really scared because of her story. She was Cuban, but she was living in Bogota, and that was 1948, which was a long time back. And Bogota was not the city you saw.
Right.
It was a dull, gray, always small rain falling. Everybody was dressing in black with hats and, well.
Wow.
That was very different then.
Very different.
I saw pictures and everything, and that was really different. And imagine the youngest of a family of eight.
Wow. Brothers.
No parents from her very young age, because her parents died when she was very young.
Uh-huh.
She was raised by seven brothers and sisters. So,
oh my gosh.
Imagine that. She was really spoiled. Really spoiled. And then she marries my dad and comes to live in a city like that. Cold, up in the mountains with no oxygen like you saw.
Right.
and always raining and people dressed in black coming from Havana.
Wow.
Party all the time. See,
right.
Kind of.
Right.
So it was really scary for her. No friends, no family, nothing. And then I was in her belly when revolution started in Colombia.
Uh-huh.
I had to hide, and bullets were flying around and everything. She got the scare of her life.
Right.
And she was pregnant. So I understood that. I understood that scare, that so much afraid she was.
Uh-huh.
And I understood the way she was doing it, and understood my father, the way he was behaving too, because he was a very nice guy, but crazy as a Caribbean guy was.
Right.
So, you know, very difficult to have just one lady in the life, so he was around all the time.
Right.
And she was scary and alone. And then I was her only child. And
right.
Then, after that, she got pregnant again, and my sister died 8 months old.
Well, that's hard.
Yes. Yeah. And I was blaming her? Come on. She was afraid like nothing, like dying of fear.
Right. Right, we call it dying of fright.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I understood what she was feeling inside and the way she was so afraid. Of course, everybody does work with your fears and everything in a different way. And she was just hitting me all the time. Because she was so afraid that was the only way for her to let go of some that fear that
right.
She from that much back. So that was a little bit enlightening, because
yes.
It was very nice to find out how much afraid she was.
Right.
And understanding that gave me the possibility of forgiving her.
Right.
And of course, when you understand and you forgive people, you stop being resented.
Right, right.
And then the cancer went away.
Wow.
Just like that. Because by October, that is my birthday, this doctor said to me, okay, we have, I think, enough time, and I think it's time to make some tests, some conventional medicine test to make sure that you are healed, because you're being no symptoms from 10 months back. But we have to make sure. And I was afraid of doing that, of course, because I didn't want to find again.
Right, right. Well, I can totally relate to that.
Yes. So I said, okay, let's do it. Nothing to do. I had to do it and just take the plunge and, okay,
right,
let's go. And they made a scan, a sound scan of my bladder. And they made some other tests with trying to find cells, cancer cells in my tissue and everything. And nothing was found. And that was December of that year. That was not November that year. That 1991.
Wow.
91. That was really, really, really great. I did everything I could think of, all the seminars and everything. But then, what made me actually forgive her was the understanding,
yes,
and of course, assuming the responsibility of that I was the one that chose her, and I came to that family because of my choosing.
Right.
And my idea and everything. So I took responsibility on that. Say, okay, I wanted to do that. I'm going to do that. And that's it. And okay, let's see what I can do with this. If I die, I die. I will be dying someday. Some any day is good or bad. It depends on how you see it. And just like that, I took the responsibility to assuming myself in everything, in every way and everything. So I don't blame anybody anymore for anything, because I try to understand others, and of course I try to understand myself, and I try to get, you know, in terms with what I do or my mistakes or my things. And recently I have, in this trip that I made to Bogota, that we met, when we met,
yes,
it was a trip to inside myself, because I had to go to my apartment that I still have there and go through my things, and I saw so many things that I've done in life that I was really happy with myself. That was really, really healing too.
Wow, and that's great.
Yes.
So what a wonderful story. And, you know, I got connected with Louise Hay in the 1980s, right after I really got into Reiki, because I lived in British Columbia at the time. Uh-huh. But Reiki was spreading through California, and there were a lot of gay men who were involved in Reiki. And I had the great pleasure of being able to have as a student a man by the name of Ken Bauer, who lived in Los Angeles. And he was very engaged with Louise Hay and her weekly meetings, and during the healing meetings, and they would do hands-on healing with each other. And it was a wonderful, wonderful and inspired time, you know, in Los Angeles. And this meeting with her really also changed my life, in the sense that I really got it, and it was very difficult to articulate to other people.
Uh-huh.
You know, how to take responsibility for your life and how to move it. And I love your story, because I just feel like it's so much easier to know that we make decisions and our general society assumption that before you're 12, you can't make a decision because you don't know any better. And it... this particular assumption really leaves us kind of helpless, you know, like this helpless baby who has no chance of making a decision for him or herself. But I believe as a soul, as a spirit, we make decisions, and our bodies grow with that decision. So it's wonderful that you were able to have an experience, you know, of yourself before you were born. I think that's great.
That's great because it makes you think that you are not a helpless child anymore.
Right.
And so, you don't grow up like a helpless adult.
Right, exactly, exactly.
People feels like kind of helpless. I can't do anything because I'm feeling this. I'm so much in love that I'm killing myself with this person, for example.
Right, exactly.
And it's something that you can change, because the best thing about assuming your responsibility about yourself is that you get powerful, because you can change everything in your life.
Yes.
And that's a kind of power that I love to have. I don't mind the other kind of power. I don't want to be powerful over anyone.
Right.
But I do want to be powerful over my life and myself.
Uh-huh.
And that is something great.
You're right. So speaking of choosing something great about your life, how did you get to be where you are now? In the Dominican Republic, hanging out on a beach.
Okay. I made a decision of, by the time I came here 10 years ago, I was living a life of, how can I tell you this? I was stressed because I had this business of mine, this photography, advertising photography business. Uh-huh. And I was really getting tired of it because I started photography like a business in 1973 or something
Wow.
like that.
Wow.
Yes.
That's unbelievable. Like, I would have never guessed you were alive in 1973.
Okay. Self photographer.
Yeah, I'm right.
That was really, really something. And then, okay, well, I was being a little bit, you know, that was kind of 30 years after, and I was getting tired of that, and having that stress life, and that big city, and that everything.
Right.
I want to change. And I always wanted to live by the beach. Actually, it's a little of a secret. I always wanted to be a beach bum,
but uh-huh. never.
I saw those California, but that time, that back time, people that was with the I don't remember the names of the groups, but that music of surf people and.
Right.
Even in the
Beach Boys and
one, yes.
Yes, and those guys. The Beach Boys are the only ones I can think of right now, but I know the era.
that was the kind of exactly the group that I was thinking about.
Uh-huh.
That for me was just a thing that I saw in the movies because I was so far away from that. Because Bogota is way, way, way from the beach.
Right.
It's cold and up in the mountains and no beach at all. Unless you drive or fly, so it's not a beach kind of city at all. And I was always trying to live by the beach. And I said, okay, I want to make a change. I already healed because I was already from 1991. That was the thing, and that was 2002. I was. 10 years or something, I was totally healed by all means. So I said, okay, now I want to live my life the way I want it.
Uh-huh.
Not to be stressed and be living in a paradise if I can find one. And yes, I did. I came here with my wife. We have no kids, so it was an easy matter. and to visit some friends that lived here, and to have, you know, a week in a resort or something like that, and then another week in the country. Uh-huh. And I rented an apartment, I rented a car, and started driving around like crazy. The real people here, for the real country here. And that was great. It was something very nice, because I found this place, which is really a paradise if you are willing to live without the luxury that you might have in a big city.
Yes.
It's very country-wise. This is very rural. But it's very nice, and we can have the time for us, and we can sit after lunch and take a nap if you want to. It's really beautiful, and the place is beautiful, and the people is beautiful, and it's very nice to live here. So I said, okay, I can live here. And in that second week, I just made everything, found a house, rented the house, asked for a banking account. I did everything I needed to do to come here and start the papers so I was legal here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
1 month after that, I was living here.
Just wow, that is so amazing.
I said, I like it. I'm coming. That's it. If I can come, let me see if I can make the papers and everything. And I could. It was very easy, actually. So I came here, and I'm living now 10 years now here. Very nice.
In paradise. Can you describe your paradise for us?
Yes. Okay, let me start with what everybody knows around, which is that we have like 10 minutes away from home, two of the best, most beautiful beaches in the world, like the travel magazines rates them.
Yeah.
It's Caribbean island, so we have an Atlantic shore in the north of the island, uh-huh, and Caribbean shore in the south, which is beautiful. Now I'm living in a little house. Well, it's not that little. I have a lot of room around. I have trees and a lot of gardens around.
Uh-huh.
I have dogs, and I have my artist life full swing in here. Painting. I'm making my living out of portraits for tourists that come to the resort.
Uh-huh.
So I go there and do my beach bum thing. Take pictures of them in the beach, and then they choose the picture, and then I make a portrait from that picture.
Uh-huh.
And make a living out of that.
What's so wonderful is that people are mostly always happy when they're getting their picture taken, huh?
That's something that I was really happy about, because this is a resort that doesn't take children. It's just adults.
Uh-huh.
And what happens with that is that people go there for the honeymoon, for the wedding, for doing a second wedding 20 years after. They are very happy in that moment, and they come here and they have a wonderful time. So I'm always working with people that are loving, that are happy, that are in the best moment of their lives, having a blast here with all the beach and all the party and all the people here. And that's the kind of environment I want for myself.
Uh-huh. But after your story, it just feels like a totally sort of a healing environment that must also affect a long-term kind of health for you. Do you think that's true?
Yes, that is totally true. It's part of the way you make your life that keeps you healed.
Uh-huh.
Because what happens if I was living in a stressful environment, for example?
Right.
I was again, maybe having some resentments for, you know, myself or the work or the difficult
right.
job or something like that, for example. And if I will, if I ever have resentment again, I will have my friend coming back to teach
right.
me. And I don't want him to come back. I love him. I love him away from me.
Right.
They got to come back.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, it's been so interesting for me because, you know, my treatment for my cancer, because I took the medical route and Reiki route all at the same time, there are times when I just feel like I have this I can't describe what it is, but it's sort of this ever-present idea about, well, you know, is the cancer going to come back? If so, will I know it in time? You know, there's all this kind of mindset, and I was just thinking about your lifestyle and what you've done and realizing that that's the best way to assure that you're really clear about the change in your life, like how permanent is change in that sense. That's really neat.
Yes, and it's something that makes you feel secure.
Right, I can imagine.
Because if you know what brings the cancer to your life, and to me it's resentment, any way that you find it, it's not easy and it's not comfortable to say that to someone that had cancer or has
right.
cancer, because I work a lot with people with cancer.
Really?
Trying to pay a little bit, paying back my debt.
Uh-huh.
I'm a miracle with legs. So
right. That's wonderful.
I work in a lot, many, like 5 or 6 years, I had a group with this doctor in his office.
Uh-huh.
Group of people that were healing themselves with cancer, and I was working with them in that group.
Oh, wow.
Telling my story and helping them to see their own reality and trying to help them a lot. So we work a lot with people that way.
Uh-huh.
And I know how difficult for the people is to hear something like this, but face yourself and said, okay, I had resentment. So what? I had a lot of lives that I hadn't. So it's no problem.
Right.
I am not my problems. I am myself. And my problems are something that I chose to have in this life to
right.
help myself to learn things.
Right.
And then, well, because it's no problem if I can face myself with this. And if I do, I know that the cancer is not going to come back because I'm making myself a healthy person by thinking in a healthy way.
Right.
And that's what I think is the best part of it. And then after you learn how to think in a healthy way, you put your life in a healthy kind of life. And I am not telling that you have to be vegetarian, for example, all your life. No, you are when you want it or when you need it.
Right.
And you can be, it's no problem with that, but you can be other things too. I am already, I love red meat. I don't eat it quite often because it's a little bit heavy for my system. But I don't shy away from that. Because I like it.
Right.
I like some white flowers now and then because I like it too, a little bit. That I don't like. And that food and everything else in life is the same. I can have fun. I can have a life. I can have a lot of things being healthy. Because many people think, but if I do that, I will have a difficult life or it's going to be hard to be doing what I like. No, Of course not. I can come here and be a beach bump and have a life. And that includes everything in life.
Right. That's great.
Wonderful. You see, so it's great when you know that. And then bringing things into perspective, it's something that part of it, it's maybe where Reiki is helping me the most.
Uh-huh.
Because it's helping me to keep myself healthy.
That's great.
With my inner self.
Right.
You see, because I use Reiki for that. I use Reiki for everybody that I can help with, but I mostly use it to go inside myself.
Uh-huh.
And well, I keep myself when I am doing my treatment or when I'm just giving myself Reiki.
Uh-huh.
I'm connected with myself. And I'm looking at myself like okay, what I'm doing wrong, what I'm doing right. This is not feeling right, what I'm doing with it. And then I start changing, like a meditation mixed with the fact that I'm sitting there and taking care of myself.
Right.
When I do a Reiki. And then I do a lot of things. I also do some massage.
Uh-huh.
To people. It's mostly friends that ask me for that. And they love it. And when I start a massage, I always kind of put myself in a Reiki kind of feeling, if you excuse myself saying that. But for me, it's not just the positions of the hands or doing the treatment. It's also a way of feeling yourself, of
right.
being.
Right.
That's the way I feel the Reiki.
A Reiki state of mind.
Yes.
Well, that's really interesting and really beautiful because I feel like there's a quality, I love massage, and there's a quality of some massage therapists who really connect with you. It isn't that they identify with you or do anything, you know, unhealthy for them, but it also is wonderful to feel their connection with you as another human being.
Right.
And to have them communicate that as they work on you, because it's such an intimate act, massage, and it's really wonderful when you know that they connect to you and respect you and I don't know, somehow become a part of your life in that moment.
Yes. Yes, it's a deep connection with the other one.
Uh-huh.
Because you are touching.
Right.
That's you can connect a lot of ways with people. But when you connect in different ways and in touching, then you close the circle.
Uh-huh.
That way you can connect. And it's a pity when people doesn't do that connection in a whole thing, in a whole way.
Right.
And then the Reiki is perfect for that.
Right.
Because I'm feeling myself, I'm feeling the other one, and also feeling his body.
Right.
And that's great. That's a deeper, deeper connection that I can get with anyone.
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe other than making love.
Right.
But then that's another story.
Right. So I have kind of a question that comes from our being together that day and talking about healing and curing.
Yeah.
So do you feel that you cured yourself of cancer? Do you feel that it was a healing experience? I mean, how would you describe it? I'm just... Yeah.
Yes.
How would you describe it?
Okay. I think I have this idea of curing and healing.
Uh-huh.
To me, curing, it has to do with the body.
Uh-huh.
Healing has to do with your spiritual self or your emotional self. To me, I don't know why, but I usually use healing for my spiritual needs and my emotional needs, and curing just for the physical needs, for the body.
Interesting.
And I felt that way always. I don't know where I got that from.
But
I always felt that way. And I'm curing my body and healing myself.
Uh-huh. Both at the same time.
Yes. And that's what I did with the cancer, because I can cure my body from the tumor, but if I don't heal myself from the things that caused that tumor, I will have another cancer in another place.
Right.
The part of my body. Because I have to heal what is causing that.
Right.
Thing that happens to your body, as I think, comes from what you think or what you feel or what you are in terms of a spiritual being or thinking being. Mm-hmm. So you have to heal inside to make sure that the cancer doesn't come back.
Mm-hmm.
Something easier said than done.
Definitely.
Said a while back.
Well, Miguel, you are an inspiration. And thank you so much for all your story and for sharing your life, literally sharing your life with us. Because, you know, I never expected to have, somehow I never expected to have a personal connection in this interview, and I have. And so you've given me lots of things to think about.
Oh, I'm very glad to hear
Wonderful.
That.
Wonderful. Thank you. It came at a perfect time.
Good.
Isn't this wonderful?
It is great, because
yes.
I always felt that we had some connection from
yes.
from we met in Bogota.
Yes, me too.
He's telling me exactly what I felt.
Great.
So
wonderful.
I very much for saying it, because it's great. It's great to have this kind of connection, because I know what you're going through.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
And I'm willing to help. Not that I'm not saying that you need help, but if you feel you need it, I'm always be here.
All
because
right.
I love to heal myself by helping others to do that.
Yes. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Miguel, so much.
You're very welcome, and thank you.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.